MoneyWeb now on The Money.
Podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
I'm chatting with Aruni Chanduri. He is a Coface Africa chief economist. Aruni, appreciate the time. Weaker dollar, which we've seen in place since January of last year. Broadly, this is good for emerging markets as the dollar weakens.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, broadly, it's good for emerging market because basically when you have a weaker dollar, it means that you have less depreciation pressure on all currencies, but on emerging markets currencies particularly, which means that that basically lowers pressures on imported inflation, thus on headline inflation. And so it gives the central bank of emerging markets more room to ease their monetary policy or continue easing their monetary policy, which then obviously has a positive effect on domestic demand. So that's why it's broadly good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is expected to persist. I mean, you know, maybe not another 10%, over the next year, but more dollar weakness is more likely in the months and years ahead.
Yes, I mean, that's our opinion in COFAS, simply because basically when you look at the weakness of the dollar over 2025, there is three main drivers. There's one that is more short-term drivers, which is basically, let's say, the erratic policymaking of the U.S., right? So when Donald Trump came into power, basically, first of all, we had an appreciation of the dollar because, you know, there was this hope that his policy would stimulate the American economy. And obviously, since that has not broadly been the case, although the American economy has been resilient, but it has not grown above expectations, there has been some correction, obviously, on the dollar on that. And then there is obviously, and you know, everyone is familiar with this now, everything that is regarding the geopolitical balances and the decisions that are made by the U.S. administration on broadly their foreign policy. So we saw, for instance, that the dollar depreciated quite a lot during the Greenland crisis. Now there are concerns over what exactly the U.S.'s actions in Iran are going to be. So we might see those short-term depreciation pressures on the dollar materialize this year. And beyond that, you also have medium-term drivers, which are more like macroeconomic drivers. And here the two main drivers are, first of all, well, the U.S. fiscal trajectory, because it has been spiraling since at least the global financial crisis. But basically, you know, we know that the U.S. public finances are fragile, and they're continuing to be because, you know, Trump's policy is basically to use fiscal impulse to stimulate the economy. And so that means that, you know, for investors, they are concerned about the sustainability of U.S. debt. And so they are asking for higher risk premiums, or they're reducing their exposure to dollar-denominated assets. And that obviously is causing depreciation pressures on the dollar. And finally, beyond, you know, the fiscal imbalances, you also have basically the Fed's policymaking, because, you know, historically speaking, the Fed has a double mandate, which is price stability on the one hand and full employment on the other. And so for several decades, the Fed has prioritized growth and employment over price stability. So in the current situation, where you do have pressures on U.S. employment and declining U.S. employment, and inflation is above the target but still moderate, this logically means that the Fed should favor an accommodative policy, cut rates, support growth, and thus sustain a weaker dollar.
Absolutely. And a key point is to worth saying is that the global reserve currency status of the US dollar remains intact. I mean, it you know, we might be seeing a little bit of less usage of the dollar, but it is still the currency that's used by trade globally.
Yes, obviously. I mean, although we have seen that the appetite of central banks, especially of emerging central banks, for gold has been increasing, basically the drop you can see in the share of the U.S. dollar in the global reserves of central bank, it's basically valuation changes. So they are holding their U.S. dollar exposures, but they just have less market value because the dollar is weaker. So the dollar's position as a reserve currency, it remains a substantial currency for foreign exchange reserves.
Yeah, and I take your point. I had a thought of that. They've held it, but it's just that dropped. If I bring it to South Africa, we're obviously an emerging market. It's been helping us in many ways. It's given the South African Reserve Bank flexibility around rates. We've seen those being cutting, particularly with our new inflation target. It also helps with dollar-denominated debt. We don't have a lot of it, but it does make it easier. There are direct benefits. And of course, importers enjoying it as well.
So basically here, there are several things to say. So first of all, obviously, like as an emerging market, it is basically giving more room for the Reserve Bank to cut rates. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of inflation driver, obviously, I mean, the strength of the rand or the weakness of the dollar, it works both ways, right? Mm-hmm. It does support lower inflation, but it's not the only driver. There are also other drivers that the Reserve Bank is concerned about. Notably, more recently, we've seen a slight uptick in inflation. It's going a bit closer to the upper end of the dollar mm-hmm. expand, at least in end 2025, because there are other determinants, like there are some food price pressures because of the animal disease mm-hmm. in the livestock industry and electricity price increases, which have a substantial share in the consumer price basket. So the Reserve Bank is still concerned about that. But obviously, since you have a slightly stronger rand, I mean, it gives them more room in that context, which means that when inflation goes back towards the new target of 3%, they will have more room to cut rates. And that's, in fact, you know, like the medium-term forecast is that the policy rate will be lowered to perhaps around 6% by 2027. So there is still room for rate cuts, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of dollar-denominated debt, obviously, I mean, for South African sovereign debt, there is little exposure because most of South Africa's sovereign debt is local and it's denominated in rand. But it does give some leeway. But there is also the question about private debt, right, for companies, because they mm-hmm. also hold dollar-denominated debt. So that means that for companies, let's say that are in a slightly tight financial position, it gives them the opportunity to build some buffers in terms of cash flow, because basically your interest payments for your dollar-denominated debt is lower. And for companies that have sufficient liquidity, well, the savings you're making thanks to the exchange rate, well, it can be reinvested in the production system. So that's also to
keep. Yeah, a lot of moving parts, and I like your point around private debt. I hadn't actually ever thought of that. Of course, there's a fair bunch of private companies with dollar debt. We'll leave it there. Tony Chunduri, he is Coface Africa Chief Economist. Appreciate the time.
Podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.